Why would anyone do such a thing? Aaliyah was at first genuinely baffled, but that swiftly changed. Jessica watched the emotions sweep across her daughter's face, one after another. Confusion, then outrage, then a hint of fear. Who could have gotten into my brother's quarters? Ziarenka Valifor, the Amazon guard reporting to them now, was a head taller than Aaliyah, but she was so rattled by her accidental discovery that she looked to the young regent for strength. Aaliyah snapped an order to her guard.
Send for Duncan.
With a quick bow, Ziarenka slipped away. Shaking her head, Aaliyah looked at her mother.
This must be another outrage committed by Bronzo of Ix. After what he did at Paul's funeral, now he wants to ruin Chaney's water ceremony too. I'll denounce him. When the people learn...
Jessica cut her off.
Better that you speak to no one of this, Aaliyah.
Aaliyah blinked, eased herself back down.
Chaney's water has been stolen. How can we just ignore it? And what can they possibly want? When a question has no obvious answer, I suspect the worst.
Jessica had already worked through the possibilities in her mind, choosing the best way to defuse an overreaction and for Stilgar and the Fremen to get what they needed, what Chaney needed, and what Aaliyah needed.
I didn't say to ignore the matter, but you can completely defuse it. Whoever committed this crime, one of Bronzo's cronies or some other perpetrator, probably intends to cause panic and unrest.
Do they want to ransom it? Threaten to profane the water in some way?
Regardless, they'll expect you to create an uproar over it. But don't give them the satisfaction. Don't call attention to what has happened.
The suggestion did not sit well with Aaliyah.
We've got to thwart their plans, whatever they are. Chaney's water is gone. How are we to hold her memorial service now?
Jessica remained calm, unconcerned.
It was water. Refill the container, and no one will ever know. If Bronzo claims to have Chaney's water, how can he prove it?
She didn't consider the suggestion to be devious or dishonorable. It was a solution that even the Bene Gesserit would have considered acceptable.
We both get what we want.
Water is water, and you can hold your memorial service as planned. And the Fremen would have their own ceremony to honor Chaney in their own way. Stilgar would be satisfied too, as would Paul, who would know even after his own death that the right thing was being done. Aaliyah considered, then nodded.
That is an acceptable solution. It renders any threat impotent.
We have reports of arms merchants attempting to sell stone burners, even after one blinded Muad'Dib and such weapons were declared illegal. The fires of a stone burner shall be as nothing compared to the avenging spirit of Muad'Dib.
Ziarenka Valifor, chief of Aaliyah's guardian Amazons. After the funeral debacle, hapless detainees faced various forms of interrogation, guided by Aaliyah's most aggressive priests. The late and unlamented Korba had called the process customized terror. Large groups might unite in common cause, filled with grand dreams and righteous delusions, but alone and fearful in a shadowy chamber, individuals behaved quite differently. Each one had a key weakness that the Inquisitors used expert methods to discover. And Aaliyah needed to find answers. During Paul's reign, he had not been innocent of such tactics himself, but had looked the other way as his surrogates conducted brutal interrogations. The criminal Bronzo of Ix had been arrested and questioned then, and, against all odds, had escaped. Aaliyah had never been able to shake her suspicion that Paul himself might have had a hand in the Ixion's release, though she couldn't understand why. Paul had not wanted to watch the interrogation of Bronso in his death cell, even though the Ixion spewed hateful rhetoric against him. With all the billions who died in his far-reaching jihad, why didn't her brother have the stomach for smaller unpleasantries? Having learned from Paul's mistakes, however, Aaliyah routinely and clandestinely watched during key interrogations. With her own powers of observation, she sometimes picked up things that others missed. So far, despite the most rigorous questioning of the suspects, the sessions had yielded no valid information. Either Bronso and his allies had a superhuman level of cleverness and luck in concealing their tracks, or the Ixion was acting alone. She refused to accept either answer. On a more positive note, Aaliyah had used the funeral episode with Bronso as a catalyst to ferret out other affronts against Muad'Dib or House Atreides. In the dark of night, Kizara police forces spread through Arakeen, Carthag, and countless villages, knocking down doors and arresting alleged arms merchants who had been trying to sell stone burners, like the one that had blinded Paul in a pillar of fire. When the questionable merchants were brought in, they in turn provided customer lists, and the offending weapons were rounded up and delivered to Arakeen for Aaliyah's own stockpile. In these dangerous and delicate months of her fledgling regency, Aaliyah Atreides needed to consolidate her power and control the manufacture, distribution, and use of significant weaponry. "Names provide names," said Valafor. At a session of her regent's council, by unilateral decree, Aaliyah amended the long-standing rules of the Great Convention that applied to atomics. Previously, great houses had been permitted to keep their warheads, which could be used only under strictly defined defensive circumstances. Henceforth, as a temporary emergency measure, no one except the Imperial Regent herself could possess such weaponry. But how to pry the dangerous warheads from entrenched Lansrod families? To begin with, she set up an exchange program under which noble houses could trade their family atomics for large rewards of spice, voting shares in Chom, or other perquisites. In the weeks following the regent's decree, many great houses dutifully surrendered their atomics, hungry for cash and spice after the hardships of the jihad. Atomics hadn't been openly used in warfare against rival families in millennia anyway. But some Lansrod families held out, hoarding their ancient warheads. To no good purpose, she knew. As her priests and bureaucrats carefully noted the arrival of the weapons and stored them for appropriate use, it soon became apparent that certain noble houses were not quite so forthcoming. Using that as a starting point, Aaliyah asked Duncan to maintain a list of potentially troublesome houses. She submitted their names to the reconstituted and ineffective Lansrod that had reconvened on Catane, and she demanded exhaustive investigations and complete disclosure of their activities during the jihad. Aaliyah would not be caught by surprise. Armed with information, she would first try economic reprisals against the passively recalcitrant worlds, but she did not rule out any options, even the application of atomics in particularly stubborn cases. After all, Paul had sterilized 90 worlds over the course of the jihad, so what was the loss of a few more planets?